Welcome to the Battle Ready Sermon Podcast with Captain Rob Westwood Payne.
If you've returned from your holidays refreshed and feeling enthusiastic and excited, and you want to sign up to a growth group, then the sign-up sheets are still on the notice board, so you can do that. If you want to sign up to a mission cluster group, then the sheets for those are around somewhere as well. We'll make sure the Corps Sergeant Major has those out somewhere during coffee, so there's still time to be involved in those two ways. So, who are you? Who are you? What's your identity? How do you discover your identity? How do you know who you are? How do you know what your identity is? I said right at the beginning of our meeting this morning that in order to know who we are, we first have to know who our Creator is. We need to spend time beholding God. I wonder what you see when you look at a piece of art. Here is a piece of art for this morning. Hopefully. Nope, there's no piece of art for this morning. Okay, this is going to make the first part of the... Here we go. Going to make the first part of the sermon interesting if we haven't got the piece of art. So here is a piece of art. It's called The Washing of Feet. It's by an artist called Siega Coda. And I first came across Siega Coda when I was in training at William Booth College. As part of our spiritual formation, we looked at a lot of his images and spent time reflecting on them and trying to work out what they might mean, what meanings there might be in them. I don't know how many of you go to art galleries or all sorts of other art installations that you can look at and have a look at these things. What do you see when you look at a piece of art? This particular picture, the washing of feet, we were asked to look at as part of Brengle, the Brengle Institute that I was at in June. Asked to look at what we see, what's happening in this picture, what does it say to us? Well, if you haven't got any clue about how to look at a piece of art and what to think about it when you do, then there is a gallery in Michigan called the Park West Gallery. And online, they've given you 8 tips to look at art like an expert. Tip number 1 is to spend time with it. If you just kind of look at it and glance away, you're not going to get very much from whether it's a painting or a sculpture, or even if you listen to a piece of music once, you're not going to pick up much from it. When you look at the piece of art, determine the basics, determine its medium. Is it a sculpture? Is it a painting? If it's a painting, what's it made out of? Is it canvas? Is it acrylic paint? Is it watercolours? All sorts of different things you can look at as far as its medium is concerned. What can you find out about the artist? Because sometimes that explains a little bit about what is happening in the piece of art. When it was created, that might give you some clues. Its genre, its scale and format, its framing, its lighting, those kind of basics around a piece of art. Tip number 3 is to notice your eye movements. Artists are really good at drawing you into a particular part of the piece of art, to a particular element. Maybe in this picture, it's the reflection of Jesus in the water. Maybe it's the fact that he's serving so fully that you can't see his head. All sorts of different ways the artist draws you in to the picture or to the piece of art. Tip number 4 is to do some homework. If a picture catches your eye, so if you look at this picture and go, oh, I quite like this, this is a good piece of art, well then go and look up Siega Coda on Mr. Google and he'll tell you some more about Siega Coda. Or you can read an exhibition catalogue if you're in a gallery, or speak to the art team, and it could be that you search for things about its style, about its, the artist, about the medium. Tip number 5 is, how do you feel when you look at the piece of art? Art is usually there to draw an emotional response from you. Tip number 6 says, find your likes and dislikes. Art is subjective, so we will either like it or not like it. And there'll be some people who will look at this picture and go, I don't really like this sort of thing. But how, whether we like or dislike it, is a key factor in beginning to understand art and the piece of art in front of us and art in general. Tip number 7 is to draw on your memory. So in terms of this picture, most of you will know the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. So you can draw on that memory of that story from the Bible. You know how water reflects. So you can begin to work out that the face in the water is probably Jesus' face because that's how water reflects. And tip number 8 is to figure out the meaning. Is it an allegory? Does it tell a story? Is it realistic? Is it free from associations, or does it have associations with it? So much for being able to look at a piece of art a bit like an expert. But the bigger question when it comes to who are we and who is God is, what do we see when we behold God? And I wondered whether perhaps the gallery's suggestions about how to look at a piece of art might help us in how we look at God. Tip number 1 might be to spend time with God. If we just rush through life and we spend little time beholding him, then we're not going to know him very well. Number 2, determine the basics. Just basic knowledge of God and who he is and what he does. Essential for being able to behold God. Maybe tip number 3, notice your eye movements. What is it that God draws you to look at? Number 4, do some homework. You can read about him in God's word. You can study with other believers. You can pray. And tip number 5, how do you feel? How does God make you feel? How does beholding God make you feel? In the passage that we read earlier from Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays that we will behold God in this way. In verses 16 to 18, he says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Paul prays that we will behold God, that we will spend time with him, that we will think about how he makes us feel, that we will grow in our knowledge of God, that we would know God to the fullest extent that we can know him. That we would know to the fullest extent the blessings that we have received from God. When we behold God, we cannot help but see the blessings that he has given us throughout our lives. Paul prays that we would have the power to understand God. Now, some people will push back on that and say, well, you know, our minds are too finite to understand God. But this is not just about head knowledge. It's about heart knowledge. Paul prays that we would understand God in our hearts, that we would experience God. Because the only way that we can behold God is through relationship. It's through experiencing him. And so Paul prays that we would behold God in all his fullness in Christ. That we would have complete knowledge of his will and purpose for us. That's how we know who we are and what we are on earth to do. It's by knowing his complete will for us. And Paul prays that we would keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. This is not a one-time thing. No, growing in knowledge of God is something that we do throughout our lives, or at least it's something that should be happening throughout our lives. This growth in the knowledge of God, in our experience of God, is indispensable to our holiness, to our spiritual growth, to our spiritual maturity. You see, faith, Christian faith, and our relationship with God are both organic. That means that they are either always growing or they are always dying. You can't stop in the middle. Something organic doesn't stop. It's either growing and moving forward or it's moving backwards and dying. And so the knowledge that Paul prays for is one of experience, that we would behold in our hearts more than our heads the knowledge of the truths about God. Paul wants us to know God in relationship with him. See, the knowledge that Paul talks about is about knowing, not knowledge. It's about knowing, not knowledge. It's about the depth of our experience of God, not the breadth of our experience of God. And it's not that we know of God, but that we actually know God. That's why we want to be people who say, I must do a daily devotional every day. Not because it's on a task list and I want to be able to tick it off and say, well, God's pleased with me today because I've done a daily devotional. It's so that we spend time beholding God every day and growing in faith and maturity as we do so. If we come at that with, well, I don't need to know God any better than I do now, then we're going to be going backwards. And our relationship with God is going to be dying. We want to be the sort of people who says, yes, I've heard you, Rob. I'm going to go straight out this morning and add my name to a list to a growth group because I need to be in a growth group so that I can extend my experience of God. Because if we're the kind of people who say, you know what, I studied the Bible years ago and nothing and no one can add to my knowledge of God, we're not going to be growing. Our relationship with God is going to be dying. We want to be the sort of people who say, yes, a new song. I love new songs because I get new lyrics and I get to hear something of what the poets of today are experiencing of God. And maybe I can learn something from that. Maybe my relationship with God can go forward because of the lyrics that we're singing in these new songs. And when we say that, we grow and we go forward. If we say, you know, those new lyrics, they have nothing to teach me about God and my relationship with him, our relationship's going to be going backwards. Yes, we love the old songs. Yes, the old songs speak to us. Yes, the old poets speak to us. But we also need to know what today's poets are beholding of God so that we can behold it too. I think the greatest tragedy that I have seen as a pastor is Christians who've said, I've made it to here. I'm quite happy where I am. And they simply give up getting to know God, to know God more. Why is that a tragedy? Because our relationship with God is organic, and it's either going forward, or it's dying, and it's going backwards. If we want to continue to grow in holiness, as I know we do, then it's vital that we spend time with him. That we spend time beholding God in many different ways as we can. Because it's when we spend time with God that our prayers slowly turn from monologue to dialogue. No longer are we speaking at God, but we are speaking with God. When we spend time with him, when we consciously look to behold God, then we begin to observe him in creation around us. When we read and study his word alone and together in growth groups, then we begin to learn about the relationship between God and his people. And it shifts our gaze from what you might call a black and white picture of him to see how truly great he is. Just as if you spend time with a piece of art, you begin to see more of it and to understand more of it. Paul reminds us that this knowledge of God, this getting to know God, to experience in him in relationship in a deeper and deeper way, is impossible without his divine intervention. Paul reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the agent of God's revelation. He is the one who helps us to get to know God intimately. Paul reminds us that we are in constant need of the Holy Spirit shining the God's light of revelation into our lives. And if we're not connected to the Holy Spirit and he's not shining God's light into our lives, then it will be replaced by the world's darkness. There is no in between. So as we try to work out who we are, as we try to spend time with God, our Creator, and getting to know him and to know who he is, how can we do that? It's to spend time with him. Ask yourself this morning, as I am asking myself too, do you really know God? Or do you just know about him? Do you really know God by experience and relationship? As you sit where you are today on the 3rd of September 2023, are you neglecting your relationship with God? Are you refusing to spend time with him in worship, in prayer, in Bible study and fellowship? There's all sorts of reasons we can give for not doing those things. Life is busy. Modern life is busy. But it does mean that our relationship with God will be going backwards. But if we spend time with him, if we spend time beholding our God, then it will change our lives. As we spend time with him, we will see that God is the creator of every blessing that we enjoy. As we try to work out who we are in this modern world, we come to see that our identity is in Christ, not in anything else we might throw into our identity. As we come to see that our identity is in Christ, then we're no longer identified with the old fallen humanity. As we spend time with God, we now have a personal knowledge of God. We know the forgiveness of our sins. We know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. That's our identity, but we only find that as we behold God and work out who he is, his in our lives. You and I are both a child of God. That's our identity. So together and individually, let's behold him as we worship, as we pray, as we study together. Let's get to know him even better and deepen our relationship with our Creator, ensure that our relationship with him is moving forward and not dying. That's how we find out who we are, as we discover more of who he is. So we are going to sing together one of those new songs. It goes right to the heart of this message. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. That's who I am. That's who you are. Who the Son sets free. I was free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And you can proclaim this morning, I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am, not what the world says I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Let's sing together.
If you would like to subscribe to Battle Ready Sermons, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, or if you'd like to receive them direct to your inbox, Head to www.equippinghispeople.com/sermons and follow the instructions.